time, you can bring up whatever's on your mind. Just dial toll-free, 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line tonight. It's Ian with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
You can join us online at freetalklive.com. All of the features we give to you, so enjoy those on us. Again, that is freetalklive.com. We're going to get into some emails here shortly. Of course, your calls are the primary element if you make them. But there was a discussion going on in the studio during the news break that I thought was worthy of bringing on the air. And, Nick, you had mentioned that you're pretty uncomfortable with the term secession. And it is a term that has been thrown around quite a bit on this show, certainly within the last couple of years, a lot more so recently in the mainstream media. It has been getting some play as well. And the Zogby did a poll back in 2008. I don't know if they've done one yet this year, that found that roughly 22% of Americans are in favor of the idea of secession, not necessarily in their state, but they do like the idea. I think it was 18% supported a, you know, would support a secession movement in their state.
Or they, I think they, it was 22% believe that a state had the right to secede.
Yeah, something like that. So, one in five Americans are pretty friendly to the idea of secession. But, Nick, you're saying that the term doesn't really feel too good to you.
No, I think secession's a loaded term in that it conjures up images, especially for Americans, of the American Civil War. So when you talk about secession, people think that it's going to lead to something like Gettysburg.
Or that you want to bring back slavery or
something like that. So if you bring up the word independence, that New Hampshire or some state should become an independent country or declare independence, that conjures up images of either the American Revolution or, people just asserting their liberties and their rights. I think it does a better job of conveying what we would hope to happen. I mean, I don't think anybody in the pro-liberty movement who has their marbles wants to see a secession movement lead to something like the American Civil War.
Certainly not. And I don't think anybody wants to see an independence movement lead to something like that. I mean, one could also say that, well, independence, we saw what happened with the British when they tried that.
Yes, but at least the independence movement at least won in that case. And to many average people on the street, the American revolutionaries were right. Southern revolutionary secessionists were wrong. I mean, that's just the way it is. Right. I don't know if you really need to fight those, arguments about history to change the way that people perceive what you're trying to do. You just need to change your terminology.
Independence draws up, the strength and the purity that is the United States, whereas secession draws up Confederates holding black people as slaves.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with this.
I like this. This is good.
I wouldn't expect me to come out against secession, but in this case of semantics, I guess I do.
Yeah, and I mean, it's an accurate word, it's a succinct word to say secede, because it means break away from whatever political unit you're with and form a new one. But
that's what declaring independence does.
Right.
I mean, if you're declaring independence, you are essentially saying, we don't want anything to do with you anymore, we're doing our own thing over here.
It also sort of leaves open a crack in the door for some kind of sovereignty as a state, but more sovereignty as the state. You're not necessarily saying we're leaving the United States. That would be sort of the United States choosing. You could choose to do that, but I don't know. Independence doesn't necessarily mean secession entirely. You know what I mean?
Well, it's not secession in that
it's an affirmation of sovereignty, but there could be an article of confederation where you're aligned with other states as independent states. I mean, that's been done before.
But it's not secession in that there's any sort of process to go through to withdraw. It's not like you're filing papers to withdraw from the union.
Yeah, that's also true. You're not looking for permission when you declare independence.
It's done. Right. We're declaring independence, and whether it's New Hampshire that does it or Keene or a group of activists
Citizen Keen or whatever. I mean, I don't support the idea of forcing other people into my particular belief system. So if they want to stay as subjects of the United States, they should certainly be free. Those who are interested in that should certainly be free to do so. But for the rest of us that are interested in doing something similar to what Mike, who was on the phone with us earlier tonight, talking about how he renounced his citizenship, the rest of us that, you know, we don't want to go to Slovakia. We'd like to stay right here in you know, the landmass known as New Hampshire, but also be free of the strictures of the United States federal government. We could get together and we could write our own darn Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, it just, for me, it conjures up better images. Cause
I like it, yeah.
Yeah, I just, and I'm not gleeful about the idea of New Hampshire or another state leaving the Union.
I am not.
That makes me feel happy.
I can understand why you are, Ian, because of your position on all government and nation states.
Rebel rouser.
But I'm not saying that's necessarily wrong, but I think for me and most people, there is a certain reluctance or a sadness in doing that. I just don't see how we can achieve liberty in our lifetimes while remaining part of the United States.
It's never a popular place to be on the leading edge, and that is essentially where New Hampshire would be. I mean, it still would be in either
direction.
Well, and
as a state declaring sovereignty and saying, you know, the federal government has no right to collect taxes on our borders or something like that.
Yeah.
Then they would still be on the leading edge. They don't have to say, we are no longer a part of the United States of America in order to achieve independence. And I think that would be great.
You don't have to say you're not a part of the United States anymore. Isn't that the purpose of declaring independence? To say, well, we don't want anything to do with you anymore, and we'll trade with you, but we're not going to pay you taxes anymore. That's essentially bowing out. That's basically saying
it is essentially
disconnect
to you and I. But there are a lot of people out there that feel like I do. I'm upset with the United States government. I'm upset with what the politicians are doing there, what they've done with the tax dollars and all that other stuff. I don't want our military used as a tool for the military-industrial complex. However, I like the colors and some of the music.
You can have your own flag, Mark. You could use the colors and...
I like this one.
Well, sorry about that. You could have one that looks similar to
one
star.
Would you not support...
Liberia already has that.
Would you not support New Hampshire's declaring to the United States government that the citizens of the state of New Hampshire no longer have to pay federal income tax, and that the United States government, any laws that override New Hampshire's laws would be good...
I have to kind of agree with Ian here, though.
You'd be out, man.
You'd have to... I mean, you could work an arrangement where... New Hampshire stayed connected to the United States in some separate status. I mean, that's essentially how Quebec has remained. They've negotiated to remain integrated with Canada on a separate level. It's basically a level of separate but equal. But
if you're going to go that far, why not go all the way?
Well, yeah, I mean...
The rest of the world would, I'm sure, be much appreciative of the idea of somebody breaking away from the United States or declaring independence.
Well, you don't know what the rest of the world... That's a very collectivist statement.
You're right. Rest of the world, the individuals who make up the rest of the world that hate the United States federal government.
A lot of those people just want the position the United States has. And to those people, I say, take a flying leap.
I don't know about that.
Take a long walk off a short pier.
I think a lot of the people around the world don't appreciate the fact that the United States federal government is invading countries around the world.
I think a lot of those politicians in those countries around the world...
I'm not talking about politicians. I'm talking about people. Real people that actually have feelings.
Look, what do you think our citizens think? A lot of them think it's really great that we have this great position in the world. Those citizens in the other countries, they wish they had that position. They don't care about freedom. They don't care about liberty. They don't care about people's right to life. They care about their position.
I didn't say they cared about liberty. I said that they might not want the U.S. federal government with troops in their country.
Look, those people aren't saints. Don't hold them up as them. That's all I'm saying.
I didn't say they were saints. I just said they're people. They appreciate the idea of the U.S. government no longer having complete dominion over its own country at one time.
They may. I think what's more important is how people inside the United States and whatever state is seceding view it. And I think that Mark does have a bit of a point in that when, say, the Irish state finally negotiated its own independence from Britain, they did a compromise, which led to kind of the Civil War. But they weren't an Irish republic. They were a free state. They basically had their own military and everything. They just had to. They still had to pledge allegiance to the Queen, which was a figurehead. So, if the terms of independence were you have to keep flying the U.S. flag or do this silly thing or that, but you can govern your own affairs,
or else we'll roll in tanks.
Well, that's true, but do you shed blood over a flag?
You can't talk to him, Nick. He's like, totally.
It's a step in the right direction, but I don't want to shed any blood, but that would be their choice, not mine. All right, more on the way here. You can bring up what you want, and we can always trade with the rest of the world as well. It's Free Talk Live.
Several days after the Patriot Act was passed, a printed version was made available for Congress to read. Yes, I said several days after the Patriot Act was passed. But that's not unusual. Congress routinely passes bills that has little or no time to read. I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org, and I say it's time for a new American revolution with the slogan, No legislation without representation. Congress cannot claim to be representing us when they don't know what's in the bills they pass. They shouldn't take the words of lobbyists. They shouldn't rely on unelected staff. And they shouldn't take orders from the party leadership because, after all, they're supposed to represent you. At DownsizeDC.org, you'll find a bill that should be the law of the land. It's called the Read the Bills Act. You can read it at our website, DownsizeDC.org. Better yet, you can use our simple system to tell your elected representatives to sponsor the Read the Bills Act. Write it down, DownsizeDC.org.
Did you know many vitamin and mineral supplements on the market are made from rocks and ground up shells? Think about that. Would you swallow a handful of shells you found at the beach? Our body wasn't designed to digest rocks and shells. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman, formulator of Choose for Health, a delicious tasting chewable dietary supplement derived from 16 fruits, vegetables, and antioxidants. Unlike hard to digest pills, Choose for Health is a convenient chewable which allows for better digestion. The choice is yours. Swallow rocks and shells to supplement your diet or a natural chewable product you can better digest. Choose for Health, the world's first superfruit, sea vegetable, antioxidant chewable. Whole food nutrition, not rocks and shells. 1-800-210-1922. Call now and receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
You already know that drinking pure high-alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline ingredients. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline, to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops per liter of water you drink to raise the pH to the ultimate level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-216-9767. 269-216-9767 today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You bring up anything. Dial toll-free, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. And tonight it's Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark. You can join us online at freetalklive.com. We've got a lot of features. We give them all to you, including archives. If you've missed a moment of the show, click and download. They are yours free at freetalklive.com. Right there on the front page, going back for an entire year. freetalklive.com. Let's go to your phone calls and talk to Ken in New York. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Ken.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Hey, Ken, what's on your mind tonight, sir?
I had a quick question for Mark before I wanted to actually get into anything.
Okay,
that's all right. I know he's into breeding tropical fish, and I had a question for him about that.
Okay.
I was wondering if he's ever bred swordtails and if he knows at what age they start showing their color.
You know, they relatively quickly, very young, they're essentially just mollies or guppies or, you know, these sort of things. And, they're colorful to start with, but, I'd say, you know, 3 months. I don't know if that sounds right. I've never timed it exactly, but early.
All right. Yeah. I've got that in mollies, and the mollies have been totally clear for about a month now, but the swordtails started to come in. I don't know if I just didn't see them, so.
There you go. All right, now that we've turned off everybody that doesn't care about fishing or fisheries or whatever.
I got a question for you as well.
Boy.
Regarding your voluntarism approach to a police force.
Yes.
If you are a voluntarist, under what position would you subject yourself to their authority?
Well, that's an interesting question. I guess it would depend on the situation. I mean, you're presuming that I would be wanted for some sort of alleged crime? Is that the idea?
Well, okay, in the ideal voluntarist system where you choose whether or not you're part of the government system, if you chose not to be involved, what authority would a private police force have over you to...
Well, first of all, I don't know what the ideal voluntary system is. All I know is that in a voluntary or consent-based world, the current government services, if you want to call them that, would be provided on a market basis, would be provided on a voluntary basis. If your question is, well, why would I consent to, you know, let's say they were after me for some sort of crime that I allegedly committed, why would I go along with it? Is that kind of what your question is?
Yeah, sort of. More along the lines of what authority would they have to go after you to begin with?
Well, they would have guns. I mean, that's what the authority is today as far as the government is concerned. If you commit a crime against someone, if you harm another person or destroy their property, then I think that if you aren't voluntarily coming to an arbitrator, then if you're a danger to humanity, I think there's some legitimacy to say that, well, by harming somebody else, you have withdrawn your own rights. I mean, rights don't really exist. They're just a great concept that we all, hopefully most all of us have, that we respect about one another. And so if you have violated another person's rights by taking their life or harming them or whatever it is that you did, then that person has the right, or they can hire somebody who will then, you know, have the right to do in their name this to bring you to justice. And if it turns out that they're wrong, well, that's why they would have to be very, very cautious, because if they were wrong, then their reputation would be very in a very bad way. It'd be really dinged in a serious manner. They might even go out of business as a result of being wrong just once in that particular area. So protection agency would behoove them to ensure that they were going after the right person. If they were going to use force to bring you to justice, they better have some damn good proof that you actually did what it is that they're alleging you did, because once that goes in front of an arbitrator, if they don't have the proof that you committed that crime, then you've got a case against them for wrongful arrest and essentially kidnapping at that point, and good luck to them trying to rescue their business. Does that make sense?
Kind of, and it kind of misses a whole point where... It just seems to me that if you didn't recognize that they had this, I mean, you see their guns, but you don't recognize their legitimate authority, how are they going to come and get evidence against you? You don't let them onto your property. You don't let them see your banking statements or whatever they are interested in.
Well, it's not my job to figure out how they would run investigations. I mean, I can speculate briefly here. They may have agreements with certain businesses, and businesses may. I mean, today a lot of businesses will say, "Well, we'll cooperate with law enforcement." So they may, you know, a bank might just have it in their contract with you that they'll cooperate with an investigation from an insurance company.
Let's not get muddled up in the CSI imaginations that one might have of how the policing works in the United States. More than half of the murders go unsolved.
Try 80%.
Yeah, the numbers are incredibly high. More than half of the by and large, most crimes that aren't speeding and pot possession, which I'm sure those go by and large unreported and unconvicted too. But the system that we have isn't catching whomever it is that they're supposed to be catching. It's not even focusing on those people. I would suspect that whatever system you put in play couldn't do much worse. So the idea that the police are using these wide sweeping powers that they have really isn't so. Do you get what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, you also have to take into account we don't really have a law enforcement agency. It's just another branch of revenue collection.
That's correct. So, I'm not for this private policing thing that Ian's talking about necessarily, but I like to be fair, and what I would like to see the police gotten out of the business of collecting revenue and put in the business of catching criminals.
Well, now think about the way think about the way a private eye, for instance, today has in many ways a lot more flexibility than the government police. I mean, you certainly see in all the movies, and I'm sure it's in reality to some extent, that the government cops will break the rules in order to get the case solved. But in the case of the private eye doesn't really have any rules necessarily. He can go and pretty much do whatever he can get away with doing, not to suggest that he should be breaking and entering or something like that, but in the marketplace, the investigative agencies may have a much wider swath that they could cut as far as their access to things. Of course, you could point out that, well, you might, as a criminal type, want to have a bank account with somebody that doesn't cooperate with the investigation agencies, but then again, you have to ask yourself, well, what insurer would insure a bank that doesn't want to cooperate with the people that are doing good work out there, that the people that are trying to catch criminals and that sort of thing? So I think the marketplace would build in the protections that would be necessary in order to go after the bad guys in ways that we probably can't really even envision right now. We're probably doing a really shoddy job of speculating as to what things might be like in a marketplace where you can actually have competition for protection and competition in the areas of justice. So I know that's not satisfying to people when I say those things, but I hope that we've at least thrown out a few ideas for you to chew on here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's better than what I was just mulling over in my head and going back and over.
It's been tough for me, and it's still a struggle to really understand this, because we've been so indoctrinated with this one-size-fits-all government justice system that everybody admits is absolute crap. And I thank you for the call tonight. So it's something worth thinking about and mulling over and conversing about, and we'll continue to do it. You can bring up whatever you want. This is Free Talk Live. Anything goes.
We are surrounded by harmful indoor air that can easily deliver many harmful toxins straight into our bodies. Take a deep breath. Can you actually feel the airborne influenza, viruses, mold, bacteria, and dangerous ozone entering your lungs? Have a glass of water. Can you taste the harmful chlorine, fluoride, lead, pharmaceutical drugs, and numerous other chemicals? Of course you can't. The air that you breathe and the water you drink should help maintain good health, not take away from it. AirandAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these toxins. AirandAqua.com carries whole house air and water purification systems, air conditioners, shower head filters, water testing kits, atmospheric water generators, humidifiers, dehumidifiers, and much more. To learn more and see the products that will change the way you look at our air and water, please visit airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
If you've always wanted to experience the amazing benefits from using oil of oregano, the time to act is now. With so many places to choose from, where can you be 100% certain you're getting the highest quality oil for your dollar? The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com brings you ultra-pure, non-diluted oil of oregano with 80% or better carvacrol. PureBulk.com also carries over 120 nutritional products, including atomic iodine, amino acids, herbal extracts, and heart health, all made with no fillers, additives, or fancy packaging, saving you 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. With each order, PureBulk.com will send you 1 dram of atomic iodine, a 150-day supply, absolutely free. Just enter promotional code IODINE at website checkout. Visit PureBulk.com, that's PureBulk.com, or call 406-251-3270, 406-251-3270 today.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything. Just dial toll-free, 800-259-9231. It's the SACL CAI toll-free line tonight. It's Ian with you.
And Nick.
And Mark. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All of the features we give to you, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. Features including the Facebook profile. We've got one of those Facebook fan pages. You can get to it quickly by going to facebook.freetalklive.com. That's facebook.freetalklive.com. All right, Mark. Whoever you are, let's go to your email box. What did you have to share tonight?
Been working together for how many decades now? Close to a decade. Well, it's some questions that are put to us by Mitchell, who I'd like to point out sent us an email last week, and it was somewhat
one that we read on the air.
Yeah, one we read on the air, and he had some problems with the idea of civil disobedience and some of the people that were doing it. And when we explained things to him, entirely changed his tune. And I think that it shows a person who is really able to look at their own thoughts.
So how do you know he changed his tune? He wrote a follow-up email?
He wrote a follow-up email, okay. And I found impressive. Gotcha. So anyway, I'd like you to address some of the questions he has, because they really aren't addressed to me. They're
okay.
More to you. So he says, am I right concluding that voluntarism is essentially anarchist in nature?
I wouldn't say that, no. I think that the term anarchist connotates no rules, and I support having rules on private property.
So, but it would be if one defined anarchist as a lack of government, as opposed to a situation of chaos or, you know, something like that.
Well, I support self-government, so I couldn't possibly I could not possibly accept anarchist as that definition.
Can't speak to that. Okay.
No, I don't accept that term for myself at all.
Okay. And what is and that is a relativistic philosophy.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know either. It didn't really mean anything to me.
I'm assuming he means moral relativism.
Yeah, I mean,
morally absolute.
Absolutes is what his question is. Does it not have any absolutes? I guess.
Does voluntarism not have absolutes?
Yes, I guess that's the question.
Why don't
you answer that question, and we'll see.
Does voluntarism not have absolutes? I don't even understand what that means.
Well, does it have absolutes? Is there absolute right and wrong? That's my guess as to what he's trying to get at.
I don't really understand how that applies to voluntarism. The idea of voluntarism is to abolish the institutionalization of coercion to essentially transition from what we have today, which is a society that is mostly voluntary and that we all interact on a voluntary basis, except for the government people and the other criminals that are out there. So basically asking the government people to stop doing business at the point of a gun, that seems to me to be what voluntarism is all about.
But
I don't understand how the question relates.
Is it absolutely wrong to do business at the point of a gun?
Is it absolutely wrong to initiate force,
yes,
to aggress against one's neighbors? I would say, yeah, that's pretty absolutely wrong in my moral view, yes.
I
don't know what the voluntarist, I'm not going to speak for the rest of the voluntarists out there, but as far as my moral set is concerned, I think it's always wrong to aggress against peaceful people. Yes.
And I think that when one talks about absolutes, one probably isn't talking about the absolutes that we talk about as absolutes. For instance, you, and I take you as the model of voluntarism. I'm not that. Holds up property rights, for instance, self-ownership, things like that as absolute. For instance, no one owns me but me. No one owns my property but me. However, I think that there are mitigations to a person's property ownership in a voluntarist world. For instance, we've talked about the little girl deciding to go on your property and pick flowers. And you don't have the right to exterminate that pest that is picking your flowers.
You only have the right to remove her from your property.
Right. Or to use some level of commensurate force that she has used on you. And I don't think that, you perhaps could require her parents to give you some kind of restitution if the flowers you were picking were particularly valuable or something like that.
If you could ask for it.
If you wished to be that kind of, neighbor. You could, but you couldn't just exterminate the pests or something like that. And so,
no, certainly not.
I think that one could, in short, say, really, there are no absolutes. Show me one. I'd love to hear an absolute. Anyway, we love talking about
absolutes. I cannot imagine a scenario in which a peaceful person should be aggressed against. Can't imagine that. I mean, maybe there is an exception to it. I don't know what it would be.
I don't know. I don't know either. I'm not coming up with anything off the top of my head. But, anyway, let me go on with the email. I did look up the definition for both, and I assume we're talking about voluntarism and anarchism here. While voluntarism is not defined as anarchism, the way all of you talk about minarchist and anarchist seems to imply a connection and some level of equivalence.
Yeah, I blame Mark for that. I blame Mark for drawing a connection between anarchism and voluntarism, but I understand. It is commonly drawn within the liberty movement, and I think it's
by anarchists themselves. I mean,
I don't know who the anarchists are that are,
they've been on this show. They say, I'm an anarchist.
Yeah.
They'll say
that's
things.
Just a flash. It's a libertarian macho flash.
What did Walter Block claim to be on Saturday night?
I think he's an anarcho-capitalist.
So anarcho... meaning anarchist.
Yeah. Right. Well, these are people that are
say they are.
Right. That's right. And I think it's a mistake.
I concur with you.
Because I think a lot of those people believe in rules, and I think that anarchism has a no rules connotation.
I concur with you that there's some problems with the term anarchist and, support
serious
using,
problems
using the term voluntarist.
And
but.
I think it's a big mistake. Well, it's not a replacement, though, in my opinion. I don't believe voluntarist and anarchist are synonyms. I know that the people would disagree
lots
with
of
me on
people,
that.
Lots more people that call themselves anarchists disagree with you. So if consensus matters, and it doesn't in solving a problem, then there's some legitimacy to what's being said here.
No, well, I don't really care what they have to say. I'm not going to accept that word for myself. I think it has its connotations, and I don't want to be associated with that.
Let me go on. But he didn't ask you what you wanted to be associated with. He said, I did look up the definition for both. While voluntarism is not defined as anarchism, the way that all of you talk about minarchist and anarchist seems to imply connection and some level of equivalence. He didn't say...
I may be guilty of doing something like that in the past, but my preference is to stay away from that and not identify them as synonyms.
As a member of the Liberty Movement... To me, it's really semantics. I mean, I can understand why anarchist isn't the best word to use, but I think when someone says they're an anarcho-capitalist, that what they mean is exactly the same thing as when you say you're a voluntarist. They believe in a system without
Yeah, but a voluntarist can be a communist. A voluntarist is not necessarily a capitalist. So I see where
anarcho-capitalists might argue that that's the function of the market as long as it's a voluntary choice.
That may be what they would say, but a voluntarist includes anybody that is operating on a voluntary basis, which can include all kinds of different economic structures.
But not government, which is, I mean, I think
well,
that's
no,
probably
because government is inherently violent, and you can't get away from aggression and force. I know Mark believes he can have a force-free government, maybe someday, Mark. But in our current world,
who said that?
I thought that you were in the I thought you liked the idea of having a government that is only by consent or something like that. Maybe I misunderstood you.
I don't think governments can be entirely a government under the model that we currently have. Unless governments are in competition and people get to choose willingly between governments and governments
really
don't control landmass.
Yeah, I agree with Nick. I don't think that
that's
can ever have a government that doesn't involve force.
Yeah. Well, I still call myself a minarchist because I compromise on that issue, but I think I'm not going to stretch it. I mean, I think a government's a government, and if you believe that we can do with agencies that compete for citizens or members, and they're not tied to a landmass, you're not talking about government. You're talking about
You can choose to define it however you want. However, if I was just in Florida today, and if I decided to drive around in Florida without a seatbelt on, and for some reason my New Hampshire citizenship could follow me there, and why would it be that I couldn't just say, look, I'm a New Hampshire citizen, I don't have to wear a seatbelt?
You could.
So, and if Florida decided to recognize that for whatever reason, because they got some kind of reciprocity from New Hampshire, or whatever, I mean, these steps can certainly happen. At one point, religion was tied to land masses. Now it's not. I don't see why governments couldn't be, moved beyond that. I think we're a ways from it, though.
Toll free, 800-259-9231. Is there more to this?
There's more questions.
All right, we'll get to those and take your calls if you make them about whatever you want. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. This is Free Talk Live.
Get on the ground, mother... You and your spouse are going to jail and your kids are going to Child Protective Services. You're busted for possession of marijuana.
Possession of marijuana. Possession of marijuana.
Hi, I'm Barry Cooper, ex-narcotics officer trained by the DEA. My DVD, Never Get Busted, has recently received world attention. I've switched sides and I'm now touring America with the message to end this war on people that has been labeled the war on drugs.
Go to Barry's website, nevergetbusted.com, and order your DVD to Never Get Busted.
On it, I'll teach you secret drug enforcement tactics and how to avoid narcotics profiling, how to conceal your stash,
and I'll teach you how to fool drug dogs every time.
I'll teach you how police know when you're lying. You'll get to go on patrol with me and watch actual marijuana arrest on the highway and learn the mistakes citizens made that landed them in jail.
Go to NeverGetBusted.com and arm yourself with the information you need so you'll never have to hear these words.
Get on the ground, mother! You and your spouse are going to jail and your kids are going
Log
to jail.
Log on to NeverGetBusted.com.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2 Sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
Spring is here, growing season. The economy is not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Think about it. At this rate, how will your life be in a month or even a year? Maybe you've been putting things off, but the time to act is now. You need to get your seeds before it's too late. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Grow your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
Show. If you make it right now at 800-259-9231, that's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It is Ian with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com, the features we give to you free. So enjoy those on us. And freetalklive.com. And if you like the show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can shop with us at amazon.freetalklive.com. Enter Amazon through that link. Free Talk Live will get a percentage of your purchase. So whatever it is you need to buy, whether it's brand new or used, they do sell used items. You can get them and get them at a great price at amazon.freetalklive.com and feel good because when you enter through that link, Free Talk Live will get a cut. That's amazon.freetalklive.com. So, the questions from the email that you're reading, Mark, are kind of about voluntarism versus anarchism. And while I may be guilty of, in the past, having labeled myself as an anarchist, I think that might have been in my earlier days of really kind of coming to understand what some of these concepts were. Since that time, I have rejected the term anarchist because of its violent connotations. In fact, not only is it connotated in a violent manner, when people hear the word anarchist, they think of, well, they've seen news footage, for instance, of the black clad with the guys with the hoods balaclava. And the balaclavas or bandana across their face and throwing Molotov cocktails, busting in storefront windows and things like that. Those are supposedly anarchists, but even the definitions of anarchist, number two, the first definition of a person who advocates anarchy, but number two, a person who seeks to overturn by violence all constituted forms and institutions of society and government. I mean, right? I have nothing to do with that. I am not a violent person. I'm not looking to overthrow anything with violence. I'm not looking for a no rules or a no law situation. I support private rules, which could also be called private law. So I'm all in favor of having rules. I have rules at my house. You know, you might have to take your shoes off when you come in. That's not one of my rules, but it's an example of what could be a legitimate rule on private property. So as a voluntarist or consensualist, I also like that term, I don't support violence, and I don't support no rules. So I don't think they're one and the same at all.
Anyway, go ahead with the email.
Okay. I can see some parallels drawn between the two, but I also see what it is.
It's not fair to draw parallels between the two. A voluntarist would not support overthrowing anything with violence.
When you use whatever definition it is that you're using,
dictionary.com,
what you leave out is the etymology of what anarchist means. Anarchist means without government.
Actually, I believe it means without rule, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have the etymology here in front of me, though.
All right. Well, let me go on. See, the Mitchell continues with, would you rather live, and this is a question I've sort of phrased to you in the past. And
without a ruler, excuse me.
And I would encourage you to take it, to take the question under advisement as opposed to just dismissing it. Would you rather live under a consistent set of rules or anarchy?
I like rules. I have no objection to rules. I just like the rules that I get to pick for my property, and then I get to pick what other property I go on to and decide if I want to based on the rules there. If I don't like your rules, I won't go to your house.
You know, it's sort of wrapped up, and he says, which is more valuable to society, safety or freedom? And
freedom. In freedom is safety.
I think that there's a lot of that.
It's a false choice to believe that without freedom that you would be safe. False choice.
So let's say, and this is totally hypothetical because we can't look at a world without, government where everybody operates in a voluntary fashion. We haven't had the opportunity to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say we get there and you're able to do some sort of experiment and we find that it doesn't work.
The free market doesn't work.
That society degrades. The crime runs rampant. That people are hurt. Lifespans shorten. The child mortality rate goes up. Let's just say that happens.
In the face of all existing evidence.
But there isn't any.
There is evidence in every single area. You can look at what happens when government is the authoritarian state is not involved, and the products and services improve. The marketplace can handle things better. To sit there and say that, oh my God, without the authoritarian coercive state, everything would fall apart. It's just not based in reality.
That's the absence of a coercive state that meddles in free markets, but you're still dealing with a system where you have a coercive state in charge of the justice system.
And
whatever areas the state does control, you still do have a state that more or less acts as a referee for the free marketplace.
Marketplace in a place where there are no cops.
Even if you're, it's not true, but it's sort of, what you're saying is sort of true and sort of untrue. But even in the case of doing away with a coercive state, you're still going to have coercive people.
That's true.
And what the state proposes to do is protect one from those coercive people.
But it doesn't. The state is the most widespread initiator of aggression and coercion that there ever is. Everyone is a victim of the state. So with the state around, everybody is being victimized.
Understood.
100% of people.
They wonder 100%, but they're only being victimized by a small amount. And
$5,000 is not a small amount. That's what I'm paying this year.
You would have
taxes.
In property taxes, absolutely. But the city provides you with quote unquote services, and in order to get all of those services that you would want in the free market, you would have to pay a certain amount for.
Yeah, sure.
Who knows how much that is? But you know,
it might even be more. But I'd at least be choosing.
At least you would be choosing. Yeah. So one needs to look at that. The state is setting itself in as a monopoly in those areas, and I don't know. Whether I think likely they would be cheaper in a free market.
So what you're saying is that in the absence of the state running justice and police, that you believe that everything could go to hell in a handbasket, right?
What do you mean?
That's what you're saying? That's your scenario?
In the absence of... I don't know what's going to happen.
You're saying you believe that's a possibility.
I do. I believe it's a possibility. Yes, absolutely.
So then you're saying that competition does not improve things. You don't believe that the marketplace can do things better than the government.
Well, my problem with this question is, what you're talking about is competition. You're talking about a marketplace for the application of force. So the fact that the government claims a monopoly on the legitimate application of force might not be such a bad thing.
But we're talking about defensive force. We're not talking about aggression.
When you have a market, you have a market for anything good or bad.
There is
a market for paid killers, too. It's a black market. But I can hire a hitman if I want to.
Hire a hitman today if you want to. Cops aren't stopping you from that.
Well, I sure can. It's just the issue I have is when the application of force, whether it's defensive or not, once you put profit motive in there, I think that whatever protective agencies you have could easily become you know, a new government, a new group of strong men, or mercenaries.
Certainly, it's certainly a possibility, but at least they would be checked by the fact that they wouldn't have the legitimacy that the government has today.
Yeah, but that just means there might be another group of strong men to fight them. That happens in a lot of areas where there are different groups claiming control.
Government succeeds at extracting money from people because it has brainwashed them into believing that they're necessary.
But that's not true. You have warlords in Afghanistan and Sudan who do the same thing, but they do it because they have the most guns in that particular little area. They don't have to say we're legitimate.
But if someone were to strike back against that warlord, one of their victims were to strike back, they would not have to deal with the ostracism of the surrounding community. Whereas if you were to strike back at the tax collector, go drop set off a bomb at the tax collector's office, everybody's going to think you're crazy. Whereas if you're fighting back against a warlord, then you're doing something heroic.
Yeah, but what you usually end up with are a number of different groups fighting for control. Whether some of them are
you're also talking about situations that were entered through violent means. You're talking about like in Africa, Somalia.
Somalia.
You're talking about a government that was overthrown by violence, and so you, in my opinion, you cannot get to a peaceful, voluntary society through violent means. And so you're right. None of this has ever happened before. In that we haven't gotten to a voluntary society or any sort of no government situation through voluntary means, through an education, through an enlightened, an enlightening process where people come to the conclusion that this is something they want. If people don't want this, we're never going to have it. You can't force a voluntary society on people. So they'll have to come to the conclusion that this is desirable and that this is something that they want and that this is something they would go along with. And if we can't get to that point, then we can't get to that point.
What I have found with people that advocate, like you do, voluntarism and peaceful anarchy or whatever terminology one wants to use to describe it, is that they simply will not answer this question. If voluntarism or peaceful
I will not
anarchy.
Aggress against my neighbors, Mark. If that's what you're asking me I would do, I would not aggress against my neighbors.
Okay, so assuming it resulted in a plague that wiped out humanity, who cares? Freedom's the most important thing. I am on the other side of that equation. I believe that the most important thing is the, perpetuation of the human race, and that we get freedom. I believe freedom is good for that. I don't know if it is the final arbiter of what is right and perfect in the world.
I'm not going to aggress against my neighbors. Ciara's in New York. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Ciara. Ciara? New York. Going once. Going twice. All right. We are out of time. It's been Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
And we'll be back tomorrow night. You can join us online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
Do you have hair or skin problems? Are you sensitive to fragrances or dyes? Quit suffering. Quit trying the latest, new and improved potions. Try Unicure Hair and Skin Conditioner. It's been sold in top salons since 1973, and I've been using it for the past year, and I love it. Unicure's Hair and Skin Conditioner's gentle, greaseless formula is fragrance and color free. If you have hair or skin, you need Unicure. Call 888-UNICURE or visit unicure.com. 888-UNICURE. Unicure.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.